I was about 6 years old, and it was this time of year. My mom, my dad, and my baby sister and I were shopping at Kmart, doing Christmas shopping, I presume, and I can remember my parents discussing gifts for the extended family, and my little sister in the stroller being pushed through the aisles, contently playing, as I remember, and my parents had to go through the toy section in order to get to the home goods section, and I think I was a bit distracted by toys that were shiny and bright and ones that I hoped might go on my Christmas list that I could get a closer look at. So I paused to take a look at these potential Christmas gift ideas for myself, and when I turned around, I no longer had my mother, my father, or my baby sister playing in the stroller anywhere in my sight. I imagine they went to get baking pans or shower curtains or some kind of thing you get for aunts and uncles. And I could have, I realized my six-year-old self, gone to find them in that section. I knew where it was. I'd been to Kmart plenty of times by this point. Instead, I went to the customer service counter and kindly informed the person behind the desk that I'd misplaced my parents. Always had a way with words, told the clerk, and then heard the voice over the loudspeaker for Monica's parents to come and find her at the desk. It was a short time, not so very long, not too much excitement, not too much fear, but disconcerting enough to feel all alone. This week, there was a group of folks on Wednesday who gathered to watch this movie, Home Alone, complete with a meal beforehand and a little bit of conversation afterwards. A movie that was released 24 years ago, can you believe it? In 1990, with some of the characteristics of the late 80s, hairstyles included. If you remember this movie, this is the story of an extended family who gathers for Christmas. They're going to Paris to be with another part of the family, and they accidentally leave a very sweet 8-year-old son up in the attic where he's had to sleep. There wasn't a lot of space in the house, and if you remember, he was in trouble for causing quite a bit of chaos in the house. An 8-year-old, home alone, while the parents were across the ocean. Sounds crazy for us to think about today, but 8-year-old Kevin conducts himself quite well. In fact, if you remember the story, he even goes shopping and finds himself coming home at a church on Christmas Eve, before this big showdown that he has with the burglars who've been watching his house the whole time. His trip to church finds him in a conversation with a neighbor. The neighbor who everyone had heard stories about. Remember, this neighbor has a shovel and a bucket of who knows what. It ends up being salt. But there's stories about bodies and all kinds of things. Would you watch this clip from the movie as we look at Kevin's newfound wisdom after being home alone? Who would have known that one of the messengers of God was Macaulay Culkin? Excuse me. We hear words of wisdom and comfort somehow in both the anticipated and unanticipated challenges that those of us who've watched the movie kind of know what comes next in his life. This resonates with the way that we hear the scriptures that were read this morning. the prophet Isaiah brings words of comfort and encouragement to people years and years ago, people who felt abandoned in a foreign land, those who were sure that the world was changing all around them in ways they didn't understand or resonate with. The world they understood had just turned upside down. They were repatriated to new homes, new occupations, and new allegiance to a new king. They began to wonder if the God they knew wasn't left behind in the place that they no longer lived. Imagine their surprise when the messenger of God, Isaiah's very voice, spoke the language they knew, told the stories they knew, and brought a message that God did not desert them. Instead, God was with them all along. Comfort, oh comfort my people. We hear these words that are so important. They couldn't just remain in the voice of a 6th century prophet before Christ. We find them again in the throat of John the Baptist as he called people to a mix of comfort and repentance, honey and vinegar, if you will, come back to God. We find these words again in the 1740s in the voice of Handel's Messiah. Comfort, oh comfort my people. We heard those words today in the voice of our choir. Comfort, oh comfort my people. Those words that found a voice for you and for I as we seek comfort as well as the highway that leads to God's way. Isaiah and Mark both announce God's intention to be with God's people. The directions are clear. Preparations are underway. You and I are doing something this Advent to get ready for God. God did not say, tell the people to get ready, and when everything seems to be just in order, I'll show up. Instead, God said, prepare the way, and whether they are ready or not, I'm coming to my people. We know that phrase, ready or not. You ever played hide and go seek? After you end up counting to 10 or 100, depending on how it is you play, the words sound like this, ready or not, here I come. The voice of God, ready or not, here I come. Mark's gospel announces that the plan is to be fulfilled again. John the Baptist is one of God's angels preparing the way. This baptism of repentance is one of the means for preparing for our God. But too often, you and I, we feel a bit frozen. Frozen in our fear and losing track of the role that we have in preparing the way. We feel a bit home alone, quite frankly, as if we're in a season of family and friends gathering and celebration, and when it matters most, we feel like we're alone in a room full of others. Perhaps for you or for me, it's a physical health, an illness that keeps us from the fullness of how we might engage others. Perhaps for some of us, it's a mental health or an anguish that keeps a fear of judgment where we're contained within ourselves and can't engage those who might support us. Sometimes it's our perceptions, the judgment that we have written people off before they even get a chance to share God's way with us. Many of our founding fathers and mothers understood God in a particular way. I wonder if this is familiar to you. They understood God as a deist might. The understanding that God created the world and began it, but like a skilled clockmaker, stepped back and let the clock continue, the world continue without any hands in that world. History to unfold as if it had been preset. This understanding that God is a creator overall, but not bothered with the details of life. Now, I admit, some might say that's compelling, but in this season of Advent, what it misses for us is that God is with us. God is imminent and God is not only transcendent, but imminent, worried and concerned and active in the details of our lives. God, who knows each and every one of us as intimately as creator and as redeemer. Throughout Advent, we hear this title, Emmanuel. God is with us. The prophets foretold Christ by this name, and contemporaries of Jesus described him in this way. The presence of God, the imminence, is so important. It's the way you and I primarily understand God, in relationship with God. Not just a God who, like a good clockmaker, sets everything into the way it's supposed to be and steps back, but a God who continues to stay engaged in the very world that God has made. A bit like the mother in the movie, the one who stopped at nothing to be reunited with her son, even riding in a van with polka players. God also does not leave us home alone. Like the neighbor, the one who is always watching out and caring for Kevin, even there with a shovel when needed, when the burglars are just about ready to inflict pain. God is always prepared to care for us. We might find ourselves feeling like we have to rig paint cans all around the entryway of our lives to avoid the challenges that we have. We might find ourselves convinced that if we don't booby trap the house, so to speak, it's going to be burglarized or taken over. But God, the very God of Advent, Emmanuel, has not and will not leave us alone to just let our lives play out. Let this Advent season, you and I, prepare for a way of knowing God that's intimate, that's relational, God's very presence among us. Receive God's Son among us and live then as if this kingdom we're preparing for is already here. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.